The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf is being studied by Elul Nishmat Mor Zekeni, by Yosef ben Sarah, Rabbi Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashelema, Shlomo ben Miriam, Sarah bat Rachel, Sarah bat Rachel. Inna refan lahim, inna refan lahim, inna refan lefata nefesh. ופואת הגוף, ופואתם כרבה לבו, וכן ירסום ונאמר אמן. We're holding today on דף סמך ב', and we are 8 lines from the top. רבי חמא בר רבי חנינא אקלע להו אתרא, בזמן שהוכפלו רוב המחוצאות. רב חמא בר רב חנינא, רבי חנינא got to a certain place, already at the time where they put away the knives, which means the fig season was over. The knives that they used to use to make the cakes of the pressed figs, they put them away, which we learned earlier, that at that point over there, anybody can go into the fields and take the figs because they become ownerless. So he was eating the figs. So he gave some figs to his servant. No achil, he wouldn't eat. He told him to eat. כך אמר לי רבי ישמעאל בן רבי יוסף משום אביו הוקפלו רוב המקוצעות מותרות משום גזל ופטורות מן המעשר. He said, I learned already that once already they put the knives away, it's mutar, meaning there's no stealing anymore, it's considered hefker, and you don't even have to give maasrot, because we learned yesterday that on things that are hefker there is no obligation of maasir. רבי טרפון אשכחיה הוא גברה בזמן שהוקפלו המקוצעות וכאכיל. Rabbi Tefon went to a certain field at the time of the Hukhfilu Amkutsot, where the knives were already put away, and he was eating figs. So there was a certain security guy there in the field, watching the field. That's the Hahu Gavra, that's that fellow. So he saw Rabbi Tefon eating the figs. He wasn't too happy. Achte besaka. So he took Rabbi Tefon and he put him in a sack, put him in a bag. Veshakle, and he lifted him up. And he was planning on throwing him in the river. He's going to kill Rabbi Tefon. He put him in the bag and he's going to deposit it in the river. Amar lo, so he said, it's Rabbi Tefon, or Amar, actually, take out the word lo, Amar, oi lo le Tefon. He said out loud, woe to Tefon, sheze horgo. This guy's going to kill him. He said, I'm dead. Shama Ahu Gavra. So the fellow heard. He didn't know that was Rabbi Tefon. He thought it was some ganav came into the field and started eating figs. So he was going to kill him. So Rabbi Tefon said out loud, "Well, woe to Tefon, this is it." So the guy heard, "Oh my God, this is Rabbi Tefon over here." He left him. So it says Shavke ve'arak, and he ran. You know, he left Rabbi Tefon, and the guy ran away. Amar Rabbi Abu Mishu Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel kol yamav shel oto tzaddik. The rest of the life of that tzaddik Rabbi Tefon hayam mista'ir al davar zeh. It bothered him, this episode. Not that he almost died, but Amar oy li shenishtamashti bechitra shel Torah. Woe to me that I used the crown of Torah for my personal benefit. Because the only reason why he saved me was because I said, woe to Tefon. Who's Tefon? Tefon's a rabbi. He says that he felt bad that you're not supposed to use Torah for personal gain and personal benefit. He says, I used the crown of Torah to save me. So that bothered him. That anybody that uses the crown of Torah, again, for personal benefit, he's uprooted from the world. Kalvachomer. We make a Kalvachomer. Uma Belshazzar. Belshazzar was one of the Babylonian kings. Shenishtamish Bechle Kodesh. He used the holy vessels. He made a party, Belshazzar. And at the party, he wore the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, and he also used the Kohen Kodesh on the Beit HaMikdash. Shena'asu Hol, which means after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, so these vessels, they became unsanctified. So he was just using the Kele Kodesh, but they weren't Kodesh anymore. Shnei Emar, how do we know that they lost their Kedusha? Because the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Uba Uba Piritzim, the Piritzim, the thieves, went in, V'Hilleluha, and they deconsecrated everything. So he was using Kelei Kodesh that weren't even holy. However, Kevan Shepatzum Na'asuhol. Right, Pasuk says once they pillaged the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash and its vessels became unsanctified. And still what? Ne'arikarim and Na'olam, B'Sasar was uprooted. Dekhtiv. Ba'bililya, that night that he made the party, Qatil Belshazzar. Belshazzar died. So and that's on using something that had holiness to it. Hamishtamesh bechitrash shel Torah, but somebody that uses the crown of Torah, shehu kayam le'olam, that is in existence forever. Alachat kama v'chama, all the more so, which means the crown of Torah is still Kodesh. If somebody uses that for personal benefit, all the more so, he's worthy to be uprooted from the world. So comes the Gemara and analyzes the story now. V'Rabbi Tarfon, kevan dechi achil, v'hukpelu rov hamkutzo tava. Rabbi Tarfon, he was allowed to eat, which means he was eating at a time of hukpelu hamkutzot, which is a time of heter. That's already when the fruit is efker. Amai tzare. Hahu gavra. Why was the guy giving him a hard time? Which means he was allowed to eat from the figs. So why did the guy think that he's a thief and that he's taking figs that are not allowed? It was the time of heter. So mishum dehahu havu ganave le'anave kulashata. Because this guy was getting stolen from his field grapes all year long. V'chivan dashkihel Rabbi Tarfon. So when he found Rabbi Tarfon eating the figs, Samar Hainu de Ganvan. He thought he was the stealer of the grapes. Which means he wasn't getting him on the figs. The figs he knew he was allowed to eat. But he said, oh, this must be the guy that's coming into the field and eating the grapes illegally all year long. That's why he got him. So the Gemara says, Iyache amaitzi en nafsheh. So then why was the Rabbi Tarfon so hard on himself? Why was he so upset? Right, what's the question? So look at the Ran. Very, very important line over here. Ihache, Rabbi Tarfon amait si en nafshe. I amar tishlama delu avak kapida u gavra. Ela ishaltam. Which means, if you're going to tell me that really the guy wasn't makpid at all year long, nothing happened to the guy, and it was only this episode of the figs that he was coming after Rabbi Tarfon, mishubachi ava mista'ir. So, now I can understand why Rabbi Tarfon was upset. Why? Which means he should have told the guy, listen, don't be upset at me, I'm eating heter. Which means if it was just an episode that he was worried that he was eating his figs, we understand the story. Because Rabbi Tarfon was upset at himself, well, I could have just explained it to him. I could have told the guy, listen, now I'm allowed to eat the figs now. Even if the guy wouldn't have listened to him, so he would have paid him. You know what? Here's a couple of dollars for the figs that I took, and you could have bought his way out of it without having to use his reputation. However, but if you tell me, no, the guy wasn't going after the Bitafon for the figs. He was going after him for stealing grapes that he didn't do, but stealing grapes for the whole entire year. May have valid my brother the Bitafon. What did you want the Bitafon to do in this case? Should the Bitafon have paid him an exorbitant amount of money for grapes of the whole year, even though he wasn't obligated? So maybe the Gemara is saying, why was the Bitafon so hard on himself? Which means, if it was only the things that the guy was concerned about, okay, the Bitafon had a way out. Pay the guy and see you later. But if you tell me that the guy was not only worried about the figs, the guy was worried about that the grapes being still stolen all year long, what, do we expect the Bitafon to have to pay so much money that he's not obligated to pay? So the Gemara says, Mishum de Rabbi Tarfon Ashir Gadol Haba. Yes, we do expect it. You know why? Because Rabbi Tarfon was a very wealthy man. He should have appeased him with money. Now, look at the Ran, the way he explains it. Umaskinan, Dinachiname. Kevan de Ashir Gadol Haba, since Rabbi Tarfon was a rich man. So therefore he should have done it. And that's why he was upset at himself. He said, listen, if that's all it was, I could have paid the guy, you also want to pay the guy grapes for the whole year, what is it, $1,000, whatever it is, I should have just told him, alright, instead of having to get put in the bag and then use my reputation to get saved. So the Ran speaks out, Mishum dahu gavra adayin haya choshdo. In this case, over here, Rabbi Tarfon was hard on himself because the fellow was suspecting Rabbi Tarfon. So he was under suspicion. So he used his reputation of Torah to save himself. Which means, even after the story, he still suspected him, by the way. Which means, he let him go because he's Rabbi Tarfon. But he was choshed. But we're going to see that a person can use Torah to exempt him from things that he's exempt from. For example, the Talmidei HaChachamim are exempt from taxes. So a person is allowed to come along and say, oh, listen, I'm a Talmidei HaChachamim, I'm not paying the tax. That's okay. Kedamin lekama, shari lelitzumam lebanan lemimah, lo yev nekarga, I'm not going to pay the taxes. Veshari lelamin lemah, shari lelitigrai, bereshaw, let me go to the front of the line. Shekhi yosuri malal zakhtar Torah, tabidei hakamim, kishim shikil kohanim levim. Terumot ma'asot. Because these things the Torah gave them, this privilege. Like the kohanim eat terumot, and the levi eat ma'asir. Hakamim have a certain privilege to get when it comes to paying taxes and things like that. But in this case over here, the guy was, this is not an entitlement, this over here, the guy was suspecting Rabbi Tarfon that he stole the grapes. So Rabbi Tarfon felt bad, okay, you know what? I could have appeased him. How are you going to appease him? Pay him. Oh yeah, he really has to pay him? He was a very rich man. So Rabbi Tarfon says, for money I could have, instead of having to use my reputation, that I should save myself from a guy that is suspecting me. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a brighter. La'ahava et Hashem Elohecha. First, has to love God. Lishmoa bekolo, listen to His, you know, word. Udub kabo. Udub kabo is attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo yomar Adam. So the Pasuk is teaching us, I guess. A person should not say, Ikra, I'll go learn Humash, I'll go learn Mikra, Shikra'uni Hakam. In order that he should be called the Hakam. He's doing it for the title. Ishne, I'll study Mishnayot, Shikra'uni Rabbi. So they call me Rabbi. It's a higher title, right? Ishne. I'll study Gemara. Sheye Zaken v'eshev b'yeshiva. So I have a status of a Zaken. Zaken is not an old man. Zaken is a scholar. Zeshekana Chokma. And I'll sit in yeshiva. So he's doing it for all the ulterior motives. So Gemara says, Ela lemod me'ahaba. Learn out of love. Which is learn because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Me'ahava v'sof ha'kavod lavo. And the kavod will come in the end. Which means a person should not learn initially in order to get the kavod. You have to learn idealistically. You have to learn because Hashem wants you to learn. What about the kavod? V'sof ha'kavod lavo. The kavod will follow. So the Gemara comes along and says, Shnei Emar, Koshrem al etzbe'otecha. It says, tie the Torah around your fingers. Kotvem al luach lebecha. Right, and write it on your heart, which means go study Torah, attach it to yourself. The ways of Torah are pleasant. Which means eventually the kavod will come. What does it say about Torah? Those that hold up the Torah, they'll be fortunate. As long as you tie it on your finger and you commit yourself to the Torah, eventually the mi'ushar will come. The good luck, the good fortune will come. Rashdan, koshlim al etzbeoteka kelomar lo tichavin lehanaatcha. Don't study Torah for personal benefit. Ela kedesh yu shigurim beficha. You know why you should study Torah? So you know it. L'shem Torah. So you'll be fluent in it. Ve'osif al zevemar ondem al gagiroteka. The pasuk in Mishle says, tie him around your neck like a chain. And then the Gemara is bringing a proof that the kavod will eventually come. Shnei Emar, derachea derche noam, the ways of Torah pleasantly leads to a pleasantness. Ve'omer v'tomechea meushar. Rabbi Eliezer bar Rabbi Tzadok omer, ase devarim leshem pa'olam. Study Torah, do these words for the sake of your Creator. As she says, Ran says, Leshem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shepa'olam V'siva Alem. God created you and He commanded you to learn Torah. Aseh Devarim Leshem Pa'olam. Study Torah Leshem Shamayim. V'daber Bahem Leshmam. And again, read them for the sake. Leshem Shamayim, which means your Kavanah should only be Leshem Shamayim. Al Ta'asem Atara Litkadel Bahem. Do not use the Torah as a crown in order to promote yourself by them. Ve'al ta'asim kurdom liyot odirbo. And do not use the Torah like a shovel or a spade in order to use it to dig. You don't use Torah for personal usage. And we'll see exactly what each one of these mishnayim means. Kal vachomer. Uma b'shasar shelo neshtamesh ela bechle kodesh shenasu kelichol ne'ekar min ha'olam. Ha'mishtamesh b'chitra shel Torah al achat kama v'kama. If b'shasar died because he used the kli kodesh and they lost the kedusha, well, the most of somebody that uses Torah for personal benefit, al achat kama v'kama. So the mefarshim come over here and they explain as follows. What does it mean, all these examples, that you shouldn't use Ketrash or Torah? So the Maharsha over here explains like this. It says, Al ta'asem atara letkadil bahim ve'al ta'asik kordom liot odirbo. Bi'era Maharsha, she'esh arba kavanot b'limud. There's four kavanot that a person can have in his learning. Shishtayim mehem re'uyot, two of them are worthy. If you remember the acronym Agadil, Aleph, Gimel, Dalet, Lamed, you remember all four kavanot. What is the Aleph? Who alomed bishvil shikra'uhu Rav ve'aluf. Person studying, so they call him Rav. Aluf is a chief. You want to be chief. So therefore, Aleph. Gimel, halomed l'shem gimul ba'olam abba. Gimul. Gimal, he was studying in order that he should get reward in Olam Abba. That's good. Dalit, halomed kedil lefarnetz atzmo, shelo yehedal. He's studying in order that he can make parnasah so he doesn't become poor. And lamed, halomed l'shem mitzvat talimud. Lamed, he's learning for the sake of learning. So therefore, obviously, the aleph is no good. You're studying to become a rabbi, no good. Gimal, also no good. No, Gimal, good. You're studying in order to get the reward in Olam Abba. Dalit, no good. You're studying in order to make a panasa. But Lamed, you're learning Lashem Shemaim. You're learning because Hashem told you. So he says, Vezek kavanat atana asid devarim Lashem pa'olam. Serve God for the sake of the service. Which means, in order to get reward, not in Olam Hazeh, but to get reward in Olam Abba. Umitok kak deske ledabed bahim nishmam. Shia ma'ala al-yona. Ach al ta'asim atara letkadil bahim. Which means, don't use it as a crown, so they'll call you Rabbi. The al ta'asim kordom liyot odeid bo kedil etpanes. We don't use the Torah as a tool of trade, like a spade that you use to dig and hoe. Ela, you have to study the l'shem shamayim. So Kavzi Gemaran continues on this subject and says, now it should be noted that this obviously opens up a tremendous subject. That Talmidei Chachamim that want to devote their lives to the study of Torah, how are they going to support themselves? So really, from this Gemara, the Harambam brings it down as well, it's mashma, that even the Talmid Chacham has to find some alternate means of support and not get his stipend from Torah itself. However, the Kesef Mishneh, on that Rambam, and that says it's a suit to take any money, and it's a suit to have any benefit. So the case of Mishnah has a different understanding, and he brings ra'ayot, birurot, that it seems it was the Menahag of Yisrael from, you know, time immemorial, that there was a group of Talmidei Chachamim, for example, whether it was Shivat Levi, or whether it was Yisachar Zevulun, and there was always those tribes that committed their lives to the Torah, and Yisachar was supported by Zevulun. As we know that. That was not a new partnership. It was an old concept that Yisachar studied and Zevulun supported them. So the Ketz Mishneh comes along and says that Lema'aseh, today, the Talmidei Chachamim do study Torah and they do receive stipend. And there's many Yishonim that came against the Shita of Harambam when it came to this over here. And the Rambam himself, in a different place, at the end of Shemitah Yovel, also wrote very clearly that anybody that wants to commit themselves to the study of Torah, he has a status of Kodesh Kodeshim. He elevates himself to Holy of Holies. So, even in the Rambam himself, it seems, he did recognize that there is a concept that a Talmid Chacham can dedicate his life to Torah. In any event, maybe the Rambam, but even in that case, was against the taking the money. Now, it should be noted that everybody would agree that if a Tamid Hakam could be self-supportive, he shouldn't take. Because that's clear. Even according to the Kesef Mishneh, the person should not take from the community if he's able to do without it. The Kesef is talking about where a person, a young man, wants to devote himself to the study, and he needs to support himself. Now, it should be noted that even the support that's given today for Avnechei Kolel and things like that is minimal, which means it's a small amount of money, and it's a tremendous sacrifice that they're making to study Torah for a small stipend. It has been said that a maid that works for a week will get more than a yeshiva man. So it's unfortunate when people come along and even for the small amount, I mean, nobody ever becomes rich from a kolel check, that's for sure. So it's unfortunate when people have a ayin ra, even on the few hundred dollars a week that a kolel guy gets, and they're questioning, should he get that? Is he allowed to take that? And really, it's a zechut for community to support Torah. That's the shita of the Kesef Mishneh. So therefore, you tell me you have a Rambam. So there's a few answers. There's a Kesef Mishneh. Kesef Mishneh is Rambaran. Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote the Kesef Mishneh. And we know that our loyalty, as much as it is to Harambam, but our loyalty is to Shulchan Aruch. Now, although it's not written in the Shulchan Aruch, but Rabbi Yosef Kara is the Shulchan Aruch is our usually psak and our bottom line, and we don't follow every Harambam. That's clear. Just like in the Halakha section, we don't follow every Harambam. So in the Hashkafa section, we also are not bound to every Harambam Halakha, the Maaseh, for example. Harambam says that a person has to take his meat. If he wants to eat it, it's not enough to salt the meat. You have to make halita. You have to take the meat and you have to boil it in boiling water. And that's the way the Yemenites eat their meat. They make halita till today. Now, we don't make halita in our meat. According to Harambam, our meat is no good. Because we're not making halita, you didn't kosher it, you didn't get the salt out, it doesn't work. So what do you say, Harambam? Elawat, you see, just like in the halachic section, we don't go with every psak in Harambam. And those loyalists to Harambam, we would ask them to be loyal to Harambam in other areas. Harambam says that if a lady doesn't cover her hair in the laws of Tziniut, you have to divorce her and you don't give her a ketubah. Because she's going against that Yehudit. Like the Gemara Ketubot said. Hey, how come you're not coming to promote this Harambam? Which means this is also very important. We should go on a campaign to stick up for Harambam's opinion on covering the hair. Elawat, because this is an opportunity to take a cheap shot at Avrechim and Kolel and things like that. And you're not going to get too much support from a listener promoting the Rambam on covering hair. But you can rally some support around taking a cheap shot at a Kolel guy that's making $12,000 a year. So that's already ra'ayin. That's a stingy eye to. And it should be noted that you're right. Once the Kolel guy is self-supportive, you're right. He should say, I'm not taking the check anymore. And you should still learn, like I said, the varin Hashem fa'olam, don't use the spade to. That's what it means over there, on the extra. But to live, to get to be like the Gemara says, Shomer Kishuim. Shomer Kishuim is a guy that's watching cucumbers. It's this menial job, just in order to support. So therefore, Chacham Avadia has this in Yabia Omer as well, a Teshuvah. Knowing all the sources, and it means all the Mikorot as he always does. And he says today, he says even more so, he says if a person has an opportunity to study full day in Yeshiva Kedosha, where he's not going to serve in the army in Israel, or he has a chance to do both, to study half a day, go to the army, so he's doing both, he's serving, he says he should opt for studying all day in the Yeshiva Kedosha, because to make Tamidei Chachamim, you need today full-time service in the learning. In the olden days, we can't imagine how great these scholars were. Rashi used to be a wine merchant. We can't imagine. How was he able to be so great and write a pirush on every single letter of Torah and still have time to sell wine? And the Hafetz Chaim, many years later, had a store in Radifah, however long he had the store. But even to entertain making a parnasah, with all the work that he did and all the books that he wrote, and throughout the Talmud, you see the Tanaim going backwards. They all had Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar, He was a sandlar. He was a shoemaker. That means he supported himself. And you can't imagine how did they become so great and splitting their time in making a living. Today, it doesn't work that way. Today, because of the way the world is and the lower level that we're on, you can't juggle two things. So if we want Torah scholars and Torah greats, we need to have them learning. Now again, Hacham Avadia Yosef, we could take living examples. Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayem. He was a man dedicated his whole life to Torah. He didn't work a day in his life, except for the day that he went to work for his father, and Hacham Zalatiyah came to the store and pulled him out of the store and told him, you got to go back to the yeshiva. So, I mean, who supported him? Obviously, he was supported by someone, some community, some person, for doing what? For studying Torah. So therefore, whenever we have a question in halakha, it's not enough just to open up sefarim. We got to look. Shimush tamid hachamim. What are the hachamim doing? What are the rabbis in our time doing? And they themselves lived a life of devoting themselves to learning, and they got paid somewhere and supported by some institution. So therefore, it's obvious that the inyan of Avrechei Kolel and these people that are devoting their lives to Torah is well documented amongst the poskim, and you know, it's not enough to show one side of a story. And any time you debate in Torah, it has to be fair, which means it's not fair to give one side without you know, the Kesef Mishneh is not that far off of the Rambam. It's about 2 inches off the page to the left. You could read a Kesef Mishneh, so it's unfair just to quote one side of a story. At least give the listener two sides and then give him the bottom line. But not to just show, a slanted view. In any event, that's what we're saying over here in this Gemara. The Gemara continues. Amar, it's the second wide line. Amar Ava, Shari le li'inish le ude'e nafsha be'atra de'lo yad'ayle. If Tamir Hakam is allowed to publicize himself, or make himself known, is better, in a place that they don't know him. So the Gemara says, "Dichtiv, va'avadecha yaret Hashem ne'uraf." It seems this was in the story with Eliyahu Navi and Ovadia, and Eliyahu Navi might not have known who Ovadia the prophet was. So Ovadia had to say, "We were. Hey, listen, I'm a God-fearing person from I'm young. I'm a religious man. You know, whatever." So you see, Tamir HaKam is allowed to reveal himself to other people that don't know him. Ela kasha de Rabbi Tarfon. So we're back to the question of Rabbi Tarfon then. He was revealing himself to the guy that was trying to kill him. Well, what did he do wrong? The Gemara says, Da'ashir, what's the Vav? De Rabbi Tarfon mishum da'ashir gadol. Again, Rabbi Tarfon had a way out. He could have paid him off, and therefore he felt bad that he opted for using Torah to save his life. Rabba brings a contradiction in Pesukim. One Pasuk says, or actually you can read it, Rava wrote a contradiction. Ketiv, one Pasuk says, Va'avadecha yaret Hashem ne'uraf. That was by Eliyahu Navi. Ovadia tells Eliyahu Navi that, you know, I'm a God-fearing person from when I'm young. So he revealed himself. Uktiv, but another Pasuk says, Yehalilcha zar velo picha. Let others praise you. Yehalilcha zar. Let the praises come from strangers, but not from your mouth, which means you shouldn't praise yourself. So what's going on over here? How did Ovadia praise himself? Gemara's answers. Depends. In a place where they don't know him, so you're allowed to praise yourself, so just so that people will know who you are. But in a place where they know you, then already, a person should give you praise from somebody else and not from yourself. People make a light comment on this statement, Yehalil Kha Zar Velo Picha. They read it, Yehalil Kha Zar, that a Zar should praise you, a stranger should praise you. Velo, but if they don't, Picha, then you should praise yourself. But of course, that's taking it out of context. Amar Rava, Rava came along and said, Shari Leil Tzurba Mirabbanan Lememar Tzurba Mirabbanan Ana. Which means a person is allowed to say, hey, listen, I'm a Tamir Hakam, Sharuli Tigrai Beresha, which means, judge my case first. Person goes into Beddin, right? There's a whole line of people in the court, they need judgment. So a person can listen, I'm a Talmid Chacham, I'd like to go first. Because the Torah entitles the Talmid Chacham like a Kohen, just like the Kohen gets first rights, Dichtiv, Ubnei David Kohanim Hayu. The children of David were Kohanim. Now, we know the children of David were not Kohanim. David HaMelech was not a Kohen. So what does it mean when it says, Ubnei David Kohanim Hayu? It's Ma Kohen, what's the Zion? V'chi Kohanim Hayu. Right, were they Kohanim? Ela ma kohen notel baros, just like the kohen takes first share, av tamid chacham notel baros. So to tamid chacham he takes, you know, the first share. The kohen minalan. How do we know the kohen gets the first share? Dichtiv v'kiddashto ki et lechem Eloheka u'makriv. V'tana. What does it mean v'kiddashto? You have to sanctify him. Deber b'shem v'kiddashto lechol davar shebekedusha. Which means when it comes to all inyanim of kedusha, the Kohen gets rights. For example, Liftoah Rishon, which is when it comes to the Sefer Torah, he gets the first Aliyah. Ulbarech Rishon, which is Berkat HaMazon, he gets the Kavod to make the Zimun. Velitol Manai Yafah Rishon. You're coming to split something evenly, right? So it's 50-50, you give the Kohen the first option to take the first share. Amar, so Tfasot with Tamid HaChamim. Amar Rava Shari Lel Tzurman Berabbanan de Memar. Tamid Hakam is allowed to say, Lo Yahivna Acharga. I'm not going to pay the taxes. Because again, the Torah, the Hakamim or the Torah, foregoes or exempts, I should say, the Hakamim from paying the taxes. You can say, listen, but Tamid Hakam is not paying the taxes. Dichtiv, we have a Pasuk. Now the Pasuk is in Ezra. Pasuk says like this. Minda, Belo, Vahalach. These are three different types of taxes. One tax is called Minda, one is called Belo, one is called Halach. La Shalit Lemirmeh Aleom. He did not charge the Tamid HaChamim. So now the Gemara explains the three different taxes. The Amar of Yehuda, Minda, what is Minda? Zu Minat HaMelech. This is the tax of the king. What exactly is that king? Because a tax that goes to the king himself. Below, zu kesef gulgulta. That's the head tax. Vehalag zu arnona. Arnona, Ran learns, pays for the suda, for the food of the king. When the king travels from place to place, so everybody's got to chip in to give the king money for his suudot, things like that. Well, some say it's a animal tax. They charge according to the person's cattle. In any event, in all these taxes, the Tamid HaChamim are exempt. Amar Rava, Shari Leil Tzurban Rabbanan LeMeimar, a Tamid HaChamim is allowed to say, Avda Denura Ana, I'm a servant of the fire worshippers, Lo Yehavina Acharga, I'm not paying the tax. Now, the Ran explains, Eved Leish, I'm a servant to the man, Shukumar Le'ovdei HaEsh, to the priest that serves the fire. Sha'abada peturim mecharga, because it seems that the priests and their servants were exempt from taxes. So a person can come along and say, I'm a servant for the Avodah Zarah, I'm not paying the taxes. It's not considered as if he's admitting to the veracity of Avodah Zarah. We know he's using it as an excuse just to exempt himself from taxes. When it says a rabbi is allowed to do this, even he's not lying, which is he's saying, yeah, I am a servant of the one that serves the fire. Well, God is like, the Torah says, Esh Ochela. God is, eats the fire. God is like a fiery, that's one of the euphemisms that we say about God. So he could, technically he could play with the words and make it like he's not lying, but he can use that language in order to exempt himself. But it's not considered modeh ba'avodah zarah. My ta'ama, what's the reason? Lavruhe ad yamine kamar. He's doing it to chase the lion away from him. He's got to save himself. Someone's coming after his money. So in order to save himself, he's allowed to say such a statement and they'll exempt him. Lav Asher had a certain field, a forest to be exact. Trees. Zevne leben ura. So he sold the trees to this Avodah Zarah group that worships the fire, where they're technically going to take the wood and they're going to chop it down and burn it for this Avodah Zarah. But he sold it to them. So Gemara says, Amar le Ravinan, Asher, ahika lefnei avedut chemichshol. What do you mean? You're putting a stumbling block in front of a blind man, which means you're setting him up to worship Avodah Zarah. You're giving them the trees to serve this Avodah Zarah. He told them, listen, the majority of trees are used just for fuel. I don't have to assume that they're going to use these trees specifically for the Avodah Zarah. The majority of people use trees for other things. And anyway, even if they're going to use these trees for the Avodah Zarah, there's other trees that they could have used. Which means these are not the only trees left in the world. A person's only if the sin could not have been done without him. Here, even though I'm selling him the trees, they can go get other trees, which means the trees are available, and therefore it's not because of me that they're serving the Avodah Zarah necessarily. Therefore, I'm selling it to them, and therefore there is no problem. He used the concept of the Rov. Okay, that's what the Mefashim explain over here. So the Mefashim say, just back to the tax issue, it's a machlokan amongst the Rishonim exactly which Talmidei Chachamim are exempt from taxes. Some want to say only somebody that's Torato Umanuto, and that's learning full time. Okay? So he writes over here, Talmid Chacham she'osek sat lefarnasato kedei hayav, he only works enough to support himself, ve'lo le'tasher, so not to become wealthy, and any extra time he has, he studies Torah, he's exempt from the taxes as well. But someone would say, no, the only one that's exempt from the taxes is he's learning full-time and doesn't work at all. Okay? In any event, correct. So it says, not in this country. Rav Asher Aval Le'ahu Abba, right? It says he had a certain field, forest, Zavne Le'benura. So he sold it to the Avodah Zarah people. So it says, "Umashra b'devarav shememash ayu ovdim la'ish." That's why it's mashra, they worship the fire. But the Mefaresh explained, you know, they were going to use the wood of the tree to make idols to put in front of the wood. So it's mahalok exactly how these guys worship the Avodah Zarah. So they want to prove over here, she'asul la'alvot ma'ot le'sorich binyan bet Avodah Zarah. You can't lend a bet Avodah Zarah money when you know that they're going to use your money to go build the Bet Avodah Zarah, or to sell them stuff. Can they hear? It wasn't if they, because they could have got the stuff from somewhere else.
Why didn't they?
ובנימוקי יוסף כתב שאם לא פירשו שו לצורך כך מותר להלוות אותם. If they don't stipulate what they're taking the money for, you can lend them. משום שיש לתלות שצריכים מאוד לצורך עצמם. Like we said over here, maybe they're using the money for themselves. You don't know what they're using. As long as they didn't stipulate, we need money to build the בית עבודה זרה, the נימוקי יוסף wants to say it's okay. Then the Rashba wants to say שלצורך בניין בית עבודה זרה מותר להלוות אותם. Even for the better, you can lend them. ורק לצורך הכיפה שמעמידים בה את העבודה זרה עשו לסייעם, the kippa, the dome, or the area where they put the עבודה זרה ממש, that's already משמש עבודה, but the house itself is considered שימוש of a שימוש, take a too far removed, and therefore he says it's permissible. In any event, again, in this case over here, it's not the flavor, they could have done it anyway. Why did they go somewhere else? That's not my problem. If I have a store, and I'm selling I'm selling food, so the question is, can I open up on a fast day? Well, if they're there, a Jew's going to come in now and he's going to eat. If he doesn't come to me, he can go to 101 different stores to get food. So therefore, if I'm the only food source in the world, then you're right. I'm causing the guy as a stumbling block. But if not, selling clothes that are not tziniut and things like that. You're not the only one selling these clothes. Somebody else can go down the block and get the same item. So therefore, the Fnei Eved is very limited. You can't say every guy that's, you know, selling something that's not according to 100% halakha is over in the Fnei Eved. First of all, it's Rov Goyim. And secondly, if the Jew goes in there, he could have went somewhere else. So therefore, it's not an issue. Okay, next Mishnah. Nitin. Ad katsir. Okay, so a person comes along and says he's making a neder. For example, let's give the simple example that we've been giving till now. I'm not going to drink wine, right? I'm not going to drink wine ad katsir until the reaping season. So what does that mean? Ad shi'atri la'am the ksor kesir hitin. So it means wheat. Stam kitzir means the reaping of wheat. The Ran says, Deha, hu dehashibu le'inchi v'kar le'kitzir setam. That's what people call kitzir setam. Ava lo kitzir se'urim. But not kitzir se'urim. Now, hakol lefi makom nidro. It all goes according to the place where he made the neder. So look at the Ran. Hakol lefi makom nidro, kilomar. Mistama bechol makom mikri kitzir, kitzir hitim. Which means mistama, you can assume in every place, when you say the word kitzir, the reaping, it means wheat. Aval, im bemkom nedro, gilu lekol le kitzir, seorim, kitzir setam. But if let's say he's in a place where you say kitzir, you mean Bali, they call it makom nedro. Right, then it goes according to the place. Which we know that rule already. Nedarim goes to the vernacular, now we know it goes according to the place. Vekin nameh, imaya behar, behar. Which is if you made the neder in the mountainous region, so it follows the kitzir of the mountainous region. Af bezeh ulchina har makom nedro shimaya behar ulchina azman kitzir shel har. You go according to the reaping season in the mountain. Now shaf al pi shahar ken yarad the bekah. Even though let's say if he makes his neder, he goes out to the valley. Vigi aksir shel bekah and the reaping of the valley reached. Kevan shaiden ulgi aksir shel har. Since it's not reached the reaping of the mountainous region, asura chik aksir shel har. So I go according to the place. And I go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that. Bahar kama behar. Which means if you make the neder on the mountain, you got to follow the mountainous region. The imaya bebekaha, if you're in the valley, bebekaha. So it all goes according to the place where you are. Now, if a person says like this, ad hageshamim. Guy says, I'm making a neder, I'm not going to drink wine until the rains. Ad hageshamim. So it says, ad shiyehu hageshamim. Or he says, until the rains happen, right? Until ad shiyehu hageshamim. Ad shetered v'yashiniya. So when he says language, geshamim, it means the second period of rains. We're going to learn in the Gemara, there's different periods of the rainy season. So when he says in plurality, geshamim, he means until the second period. Rabban Shimon Gamliel lomer ad shegia zmana shel devi'ah. Rashbag learns different. It doesn't have to actually rain. He holds when a guy says, I'm not going to drink wine until the geshamim, it's the date where the second period of rain begins. Okay, so the machloket over here is, does it have to be actual rain? Or is it a date of a potential? Right? Look at the Ran. Second wide line. Ad geshamim, ad shiyu geshim, until the rain, or until the rains happen, ad shetered v'yashiniya. Gimel zmanim hem shel geshamim. Okay, there's three periods of rain like we learned in Masechet Ta'anit. V'choseban karui revi'ah. Revi'ah means to penetrate, because the rain penetrates the ground. Hashem shegeshim rufsim ala aret v'ketari demitzar ad shetered v'yashiniya mishum distama shiniya mashma. Which means when a guy says until it rains, the first rain, it's not considered rainy season yet. The last rain already is too much. So therefore he means, when it comes to Nedarim, he means the second part, right? Mashma she'ena mekademet kol kak kebiyal yishra. Doesn't mean to go so early as the first rainy season, late rain period. V'lo ma'ahalik kol kak ha'shlishit v'yu lo ma'ahal she'tavod. Now we learned a rule in the last Mishnah, very important rule. Anything that's not Zman Kavua, that has a set time, let's say when it starts or when it ends, so then you, when you make it until this point, it means until it, but not including it, not to the end of it. So the rainy season, again, it's to say you go until it, because the rainy season doesn't have really a set time to it, therefore you don't have to go throughout the whole thing. Okay, next case. Even though he said Achiyu, Achiyu Geshamim, don't think it means till it finishes, because since that doesn't have a set ending, you don't have to go to the end, you just go to the beginning. Mishnah. Achiyifseku Geshamim. A guy makes a neder, I'm not going to have wine until the rain stop, till the season finishes. Achiyasin Nisan Kudo. That means all the way until the end of the month of Nisan. The Rebbe Meir. The Yehuda Omer, Achiyavura Pesach. He says, no, until Pesach passes. Okay, now the Gemara explains. Tanya, we have a Braita. Noder ad kayitz begalil. Okay, let's say the guy made a neder on the kayitz. Kayitz again, we says the figs. Tell the figs, but he was in the Galil. He's in the north of Israel. V'yarad la'amakim. And then after his neder, he went down to the valley, to the south. Afapish yegiya kayitz ba'amakim. Even though the kayitz reached it in the valley, asur ad sheyegiya kayitz begalil. Because we learned in our Mishnah, Hakol lefi makom nidro. goes according to the place where he made his neder. So he made it in the Galil, so you got to follow the Galil time. Aye, but he went down to the south, doesn't matter. Okay. Ah, the Gishamim Achu Gishamim Achu Tered the Vyashin Yarash Bagumin. Amar Bizira. Mahlok de Amar Ada Gishamim. This mahlok between Rashbag and the Hakamim that say what? Hakamim say when a guy says Gishamim, it means until the second period when it starts raining. According to Rashbag, he says no. According to the date of the second period, even though it did not rain yet, that machlok is only because he said the language Geshamim. However, Aval Amar Ad HaGeshem. If he said just Geshem, Adzman Geshamim Kamar, then everybody agrees it's the date, it's the time. Which is Hachamim only say you need actual rain itself when he used the term Geshamim. Why? Because if you just wanted the date, you could have said Ad HaGeshem. Hakamim say when you added more terminology, Geshamim, you're coming to include something. What are you coming to include in your neder? That's not only the date. I'm not going to drink wine until it actually gets to that period and rains. But if you just said Geshem, everybody agrees it's the date, meaning which date? The second period of the rain. Let's read that in the Ran now. Mahloket de'amar ad Geshamim. Kilomar. כי פליקי תנא קמא ורשב"ג אי באי עד שתרד ואי באי כשהגיע דווקא אמר עד הגשם אבל אמר עד הגשם כי זה אנטול הגשם אפילו תנא קמא ועודד עד זמן גשמים כאמר תול הטיים ולא מצער אלא עד שיגיע הזמן לביעה שנייה. Okay, and the Ran comes along and gives an explanation. What's the difference between Geshamim and Geshem? So we explain again. Geshamim is an extra terminology that he used. He could have said just Geshem. Why do you say an extra two letters? Geshamim. So we assume that he's coming to include something. What is he coming to include? Not only the date, but it actually has to rain. Whereas the Shprag says no. There's no difference between Geshem and Geshamim. It means the date and not the actual rain itself. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a question. Okay, now we're going to give you the dates. When is the rainy season? When is the first period of rain? Begimel, that's the third of Heshvan. That's when the rain should start. Binunit, the second period. Beshiv'a, is on the seventh of Heshvan. Afilah, the last period is Be'aslim u'shlosha, Devrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says the three periods are 3, 7, 23. Next sheet, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Beshiv'a. So what is that? 7, 17, 23. Rabbi Yose Omer, B'Shiv'asar, B'Yasim U'Shlosha, Ub Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So according to him, it's 17, 23, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Okay, so you basically have three Shitot. Let's review the three Shitot again. 3, 7, 23. That's the first Shita of Rabbi Meir. Then you have 7, 17, 23, and then you have 17, 23 Rosh Chodesh Kislev. V'chein haya Rabbi Yose Omer, and we know Rabbi Yose held like that because he said it in a different place. We learned about Masechet Ta'anit that after a certain period of time, the Talmidei Chachamim have to start fasting when there's a drought. So Rabbi Yose's shita was ena yehidim, yehidim of the rabbis, ena yehidim mitanim. So you see what? The last period of rain is Rosh Chodesh. If it doesn't rain by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, now already you start the fasting. So you see the Bias is consistent to his opinion. So the Gemara says over there, Pishtam, now, what do I have to know these periods for? Which means that we're not discussing over here Stam dates. You're telling me 7, 17, 23. What do I care if I know these dates or not? So the Gemara says, no, there is value to know these numbers. Why? You know why you have to know the first period? Lishael, to start saying Baruch Aleinu.
Right.
So I got to know when is the rainy season begin, so I know when to start praying for rain. And I got to know the third period, because if it doesn't rain by that period, you got to start instituting the fasts. Ela Shiniya Lemai. But the second period, what do you got a note for? The Vi'ashiniya is on the 23rd. So what? So the Gemara says, "Ve'amar bizera linoder." And Nafkin Afer Gani makes a neder, like our case in the Mishnah. A guy makes a neder, I'm not drinking wine till the Geshamim. So Geshamim is mashma, not the first rain, because that's not rain, that's not so much. Not the third, that's already excessive. And that means the second period. So you got to know the date, nafkamina, for a person that's making a neder. Ve'amrin and Allah. And they said, Keman azla hadetanya. We have a blaita. The blaita says the following. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Geshamim shiyaldu shiv'a yamim ze ahar ze. If you have rain, let's say, where it rained 7 days in a row, ata mone ba'em revi'a rishona v'shiniya. You get the first period and the second period. 7 days rain in a row, 2 periods are knocked off. The first two, exactly. Who could that be? Like Keman, could it be Yosef? Now let's analyze why. According to the Bimeir, how many days are between the first period and the second period? 4 days, 3 and 7. Right. So you don't need 7 days of rain in a row to get 2 periods. 3 and 7 is 4 days. Mm-hmm. According to the next Shita, it's 7 and 17.
10 days.
It's 10 days difference. So if it rains 7 days in a row, you're not going to have 2 periods that you covered. Mm-hmm. So who's the only Shita that it could be? When it says if it rains 7 days in a row, you cover period number 1 and period number 2, it's got to be the B'yoseh. Because to him it's what, 17, 23. So if it rains from the 17th to the 23rd, 7 days straight, the Chedush is what? Even though it didn't stop in between, it's considered already you fulfilled the two periods. Oh, so now, the question, the Gemara is asking a question. Because the Gemara is saying that what? To be considered, Rabbi Zira made a statement, what do you need the second period for? The second period you need to know for a guy makes a neder. Right? If a guy makes a neder, you know, you go until the second time. Good? Now, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds you don't have to actually have rain. Let's remind ourselves of his Shita in the Mishnah. He holds when a guy makes a neder ada geshamim, it means until the date, which means until whatever the 23rd of Hajvan. Whether it rains or not, that's already considered the date. So he comes along, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and says like this: for me, you have to know the second period of rain just by date. So I don't care if it rains or not. Okay. But according to you, rabbis, that say it actually has to rain itself, so you should know that when it rains 7 days in a row, so 7 days in a row is considered the second period. Don't think that it's all considered, it's got to stop in between and start again. So long as it rains, even if it rains from 17 to 23, when the 23 comes, it's considered already the second period, and therefore if a guy made a neder, he's by the second period already. Oh, but what do you see over here? That we're assuming, and this is the Gemara's question, that this is referring to where the guy said, I'm making a neder ada geshem. Now we just learned that when he says ada geshem, everybody agrees it doesn't have to actually rain. It's enough to reach the date. So why is Rashbag coming along and saying that a person made a neder ada geshem, right, until the rain? So if it rains 7 days in a row, you know you got to the second period. What do you mean? I thought you said ada geshem. You don't have to have it to rain, according to everybody. When you say ada geshamim, then we say we have a machloket Rashbag and Tarakama. Rashbag comes along and says, still you don't need the rain itself. It just has to be the date. But Hakamim come along and say geshamim, it has to actually rain. Mm-hmm. So we're assuming that Rashbag came along and said, okay, Hakamim, I know you argue with me, and you hold what? That it actually has to rain. But at least admit to me that if it rains 7 days in a row, it's considered already the second period, and therefore, the neder, that you said until the second period, so the neder is mekuyam until that point. So the Gemara's question, but what do you mean? If you're talking about where the guy said geshem,
it's only a date.
It's only a date, so it doesn't have to rain at all. Not for 2 days, not for 7 days. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Hahu da'amar ada geshamim. And we're talking about a guy where he said ada geshamim, which is if he said ada geshamim,
then
that's the context of Rashbag's statement. Rashbag is saying like this: for me, there's no difference between ada geshem or ada geshamim. To me, it's always
date
23rd of Hajman. That's according to Rabbi Yosef. Let's say 23rd of Hajman. Once that date reaches, yeah, the neder is over. But you hakamim that hold on, it's got to actually rain. Now, granted, if you said ada geshem, it's a date, no problem. But if you said ada geshamim, so it's not enough to reach the 23rd. It has to be actually raining. So at least admit that if it rains 7 days in a row,
that's considered.
You're from 17 to 23, you're going to consider it that the second period already began. Oh, So therefore, okay, fine, you mean more debt to me to that. But what do you see over here? There's a difference between Geshem and Geshem. That's the way the Ran understands. Look at the last Ran. In the last Ran of it, it starts off De'amar. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines before they get wide in the Ran itself. De'amar b'yud zayin, it's a B'yosei, right? B'yosei says 17, chav gimel. De'il rabbi me'ir, leka zayin yamin ben nishran l'sheniyah. De'il rabbi yehuda ikat tafeh. Which is for sure the 7-day rules can only fit according to the B'yosei. Because the first shita says there's only 4 days between, right? 3 and 7. And the second shita says 7, 17.
Right.
Only shita that has 7 days between number 1 and number 2 is the B'yosei. The Rashbag, the Devrehem, the Rabbanan Kamar. Rashbag was making a statement like this. Lidi di lo kabdina benoder bidat gishim klal. For me, it doesn't have to rain at all. Ela bizmanam. I go with the date. Ela lididchu. According to you, rabbis. Ni de kabditu birida mamash. You have to say it actually rains. Oduli mihat. But at least admit to me. Dafapishat halat yiridatan aitam mitralat revialin shona velo paskun. It went straight from the revialin shona to revialin shona 7 days straight. Afilu aki. Oduli de kemanchin mshikor revialin shenia torat revialin shenia alehem vishalim lezman nidre.
One rain is considered so.
Right. Admit to me that one long rain, it's considered that you got to the second period. And we're thinking at this point that the guy said adageshem. That's the normal way a person says. If you tell me that when a guy says geshem, it means the date. Admit to me. What does it admit to me? Umay iriya yerdu. I feel no yadu klal. What does the Rashbag say? Admit to me, at least if it rains all 7 days, it's a, even if it doesn't rain. Right. If the guy said Geshem, it's the 23rd. Regardless. Right? I feel no yadu klal. Kevan dechi nadar ad Geshem. Amar vegi azmanat shel reviyah shinal kol alma shalim dadeh. Omer tarzina, the Gemara's answer is, ha'u damar ad Geshamim. Kolomar, I amar ad Geshem. If the guy, you're right. If the guy just wants an ad Geshem, inachin ameh. It means he got to the 23rd. And what did we say earlier? The rabbis told that when you say Geshem, since you could have just said Geshem, and you said an extra terminology, that means you're coming to include more. What are you coming to include? Not only the date, but the actual rain itself. Oh, so all that Rashbag was saying, admit to me at least, that if the guy said Geshamim, and you hold it's got to be the second of Yah, and it's got to rain, but admit to me, a 7 day long rain put you in the second period of the rains. Baruch Hashem.
Amen. Amen. Amen.